You know the vibes. Welcome back to the 500th episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast. 500 times the people have heard me say, you know the vibes. That's kind of insane. If someone had a lot of free time, they could make a compilation of all 500 you know the vibes is, which I think would be cool. If anyone's got enough free time in their day, that'd be fun. But this show, as always, is brought to you by NBA 2K24. I want to give a special shout out to the people at NBA 2K24, my brother Tom over there, who does a great job managing this partnership with us. And I want to give an even bigger shout out to the one and only Mr. BJ Armstrong, who's with me for basically the 500th time.
Man, give a shout out to you, the listeners, the fans. 500 shows. Appreciate you, Mo. And to the next 500.
Let's make it even better. I appreciate you. See, BJ came on our show on Sky Sports as a one-off guest. Little did he know he would never be able to get rid of me. Here we are, 500 shows later. But what a way to celebrate the 500th episode by not one, but two Game 7s happening to determine the final spots in the NBA Conference Finals. BJ, did you enjoy the games tonight?
I really did. And well, my wife reminded me today that 75% of all Game 7s are won by the home team.
Oh, and yet today.
And yet today, we saw two Game 7s, and both of the visiting teams won. I mean, I can't recall ever seeing anything like this, Mo. I can't recall. I'm guessing it's probably happened in the 75 years, but it's amazing to have seen. We saw two visiting teams on the road in Game 7 win today, and that was just an incredible achievement. And talking about great games, that was that, especially the last game. I mean, the Denver. Well,
I think we should start with the last game. We ain't going to do it in order today because I'm too hyped to talk about this game. Because speaking of things that you don't usually see, you know, the home teams losing Game 7, the Denver Nuggets lost their third game at home. The reigning champions losing three games at home in a series. Yep. And this game was insane because by halftime, you thought the Denver Nuggets have got it wrapped up. You thought they're up 15. They had a 20-point lead in the third quarter. You thought, all right, cool, business as usual. Little did they know, Anthony Edwards had an awful game by his usual standards, if you look at the scoring. But it was a fantastic team performance by the Timberwolves. Now, I can tell you the story of this game, but if you didn't watch this game, and you guys come to the podcast for recaps, I would heavily implore you to go back and watch this one because it was an amazing from start to finish. It started off such a gritty game. They couldn't make shots to start the game. The defenses were locked in. But the third quarter, Timberwolves defense was unbelievable. And BJ, just to put it in context, right? This is a team whose best player is, 22 years old. They just went on the road for a Game 7 with the defending champions, had a 30-point swing in the game. They were down 20 at one point. And their best player had a bad game. And they found a way to win. And if that doesn't say championship DNA to you, I don't know what will. Because that was, I ain't got the words for what the Timberwolves have just done. The way their defense just locked in the second half was unbelievable. Anthony Edwards finished 6 of 24 from the field, 16 points. But Karl Anthony Towns, 23 points, 12 rebounds. But more importantly, BJ, this was the best game I've ever seen Karl Anthony Towns play. His defense on Jokic in this one was special. This was more impressive to me than when he scored 62 back in January. Jaden McDaniels was quiet through the first five games of the series. He had 23 tonight. Rudy Gobert was getting destroyed on the internet, but the fourth quarter of Rudy Gobert, simply amazing. Now, Karl Anthony Towns picked up his fifth foul early in the fourth quarter. Not to worry, we got the sixth man of the year, Naz Reid, who's going to come in and make some huge plays. Mike Conley, he hit a huge shot down at the end. And just an all-round amazing team performance from the Minnesota Timberwolves. So for the Denver Nuggets, I mean, Jokic put up 34 points, 19 rebounds, 7 assists, but he couldn't hit a three-pointer until late in the game. He was 2 of 10 from deep. Jamal Murray started hot. I think he had 24 points in the first half, but he finished with only 35. So he only had, 11 points in the second half of the game. They got basically nothing from their bench. Michael Porter Jr. had another stinker. This was an awful series for him. He was 1 of 6 from deep, 7 points. Aaron Gordon only gave him 4 points, 4 rebounds. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope only gave him 5 points. And BJ, all season long, he talked about the depth, and it came back to bite them. Jokic played 47 minutes in this one. He only took 1 minute of rest. And I don't know if Bruce Brown and Jeff Green would have won them this game, but I do know when Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Michael Porter Jr. can't hit shots, it would have been nice to have them in to hit a couple buckets. What were your thoughts after this one?
Well, you know, well first, let's start with the Minnesota Timberwolves. What an amazing effort. And for all the, you know, young players, young coaches, people who are teaching the game of basketball, you know, we always like to say to our players, you know, that are learning the game, don't let your shooting and your offensive output determine whether you play well or not. That was the lesson learned today in watching Anthony Edwards. He did not have a great offensive game by the numbers. However, what he was able to do, he was very effective. And his ability to defend, I mean, he got some steals there in the second half that were just simply incredible.
Yep. And when your shot's not going, you want to get those easy buckets in transition.
And the way he played was very inspiring to his team because he continued to play downhill. And when you have a player, Mo, that can play downhill, it allows you to play when your offense doesn't play well because he can create where there's nothing there. And that's what he did. You know, those guys hung in there. And when you're playing against a great player like a Jokic, I mean, he simply was dominant. And there were some parts of the game where he really dominated Rudy Gobert. But I want to give Rudy credit for being, you know, he was persistent in knowing what he wanted to do throughout the entire game. And his persistence really paid off for him, especially in the second half. I thought him, Naz Reid, and Karl Anthony Towns, I thought they did a terrific job. All three of those guys gave him different looks. You know, Jokic was Jokic. However, he had to work for everything that he got tonight. And they really did a terrific job. I mean, this team, the Minnesota Timberwolves, they were fantastic. And Mo, we talked about it in the preseason. If there was one glaring weakness that this team had, it was their bench. And they didn't have the depth when you see the team. Do they have a championship caliber team? They showed you that they are a championship caliber team. However, you know, Mo, they ran up against an opponent that just had more depth than them. They just can. They did the impossible. I didn't think it was possible to beat the Denver Nuggets 3 times at home. I mean,
yep.
To beat them three
and the interesting
times at
home, part, BJ, in the first round, the Denver Nuggets were the kings of the comeback against the Lakers.
Right.
And tonight,
right,
they were the victims of the comeback.
I don't know what's for you to be up 20 points in a game 7. I don't know what's the largest lead, but that was an incredible turnaround. And
Largest lead at halftime in a game 7 that someone's come back from was 11 points. The Warriors did it way back
points,
in the 50s,
yeah,
and they did it in 2018. And the Timberwolves were down 15 tonight at halftime.
I was going to say, I can't recall seeing something like this, so that makes sense. That was an incredible game, exciting game. And give the Timberwolves credit. They hung in there. It was like a heavyweight fight. You know, they took a hit. Then Minnesota came out with a haymaker. They got back in the game. And then Jokic made a run. And then Murray made a run. And then Karl Anthony Towns. I mean,
heavyweight fight.
Thinking, yes.
The Fury fight from the other night. There was a moment in a fight where Usyk rocks Fury. And he had Fury up against the ropes. He's wobbling. He was pretty much, they had a standing 8 count on him.
Right.
And tonight, that moment where they had the Nuggets on the ropes and you knew they'd won the fight was when Rudy Gobert hit a turnaround fadeaway to beat the shot clock.
Oh,
that was
yeah.
the moment where I knew this game is done, because
no,
this is just
you,
destined.
You remember the and-one Rudy Gobert got late? The and-one, like, with, I don't know if it was his left hand or what have you, that play. That was just incredible. I'm just going to give Rudy credit because it's everyone. And you know I'm a Rudy Gobert fan, as you know. I really like Rudy. And people, I mean, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. And what is he, four-time now defensive player of the year?
Yep.
I mean, what he does, I mean, we simply just kind of take it for granted. But he just hung in there tonight. I mean,
And do you know what's an underrated factor about Rudy Gobert?
what's
His
that?
conditioning is amazing.
Yeah, that's what I'm
Like,
saying.
even at
Rudy,
the end of the game, he looks like he could play another game.
I'm a Rudy fan. You know,
I'm not, just for
he
the record.
plays the game the right way, and he doesn't need plays to be effective. So, but congratulations to them. I'm really looking forward to the next round here. I mean, both the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference. Congratulations to all four teams
It's the
for getting
first
to that.
time, I believe it's the first time in NBA history. Or can you remember a time where the final four teams doesn't have an MVP?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really looking forward to this. And you know what I'm really looking forward to? There's going to be a new champion.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to this. I
Well, when I say
mean,
MVP, I mean a former MVP or a current MVP. Obviously, when Embiid won it, he was not making it into the conference
we
finals.
got, I mean, Luka, Kyrie, Anthony Edwards, Cat, Gobert. So I think this is going to be terrific in the Western Conference
Jaden McDaniels, they got
and
KD, but we got Jaden McDaniels. If they win the
yes.
championship, that might be the greatest quote of all time.
And you know what? And of course the Eastern Conference. I
Oh,
mean, I
we'll
know
get to
we get
that.
to it. Yeah, we get to it. But this was great. And the fantastic effort by Minnesota. I mean, like I said, if you want to know what it means to just keep playing, even though when you're not playing well, just point to this game. It was a great game. Great game seven. And we saw something we've never seen before for a team to come back down 20 points on the road and win a game in game seven. And their best player was like, what he was, be like 6 or 7 for
6 of
24 or something.
24. Yeah,
Yeah.
shout out
And
to
they
Tim
win a
Connolly.
game.
He built the champions, then built another team to beat the champions. So
Yeah. How about that? How
who
about
knows?
that?
Maybe the Charlotte Hornets should hire him next year. Who knows?
Okay. Yeah. Let me get this right. Everyone keeps talking about Tim Connolly. And let me just get this right. You have a 22-year-old player who's in the Western Conference Finals, and you're just going to leave that
No
to go.
chance.
So,
No
yeah.
chance.
Okay. Good luck with
Well,
that one.
he did leave Jokic and the Nuggets, so we don't know. But the Timberwolves must have, they gave him like a stake in the team or something ridiculous.
Yeah,
So,
yeah, yeah, yeah. This is
yeah, but it's also
good luck with
interesting that
that.
Alex Rodriguez is there and they don't know who the owner of the team is going to be in a couple of months. So it's like he's celebrating with Ant post game, but is he even going to get to buy the team? That's a whole nother thing. But yeah, honestly, you guys just need to tune in and watch that game because it was unbelievable. The other game seven that happened wasn't quite as exciting as the Indiana Pacers went into Madison Square Garden and won 130 to 109. And here's what I want to say about the Knicks. They lost game seven. Okay, cool. But you have to credit the heart of this team because OG Anunoby, he tried to play. He gave them 4 or 5 minutes, couldn't play anymore. Josh Hart, he shouldn't have been playing. He played. Jalen Brunson went off during the game. It ended up being a fractured left hand and he had to leave the game. These guys gave everything that they've got in a league where load management runs rife and big players want to take rest. Credit to this Knicks team. And here's the thing that's interesting about the Knicks. You look at this team and they made it to one game within the conference finals. You think, what could they add? They could add one of the league's best shot blocking bigs who can grab boards to help Isaiah Hartenstein. They could add one of the league's best defenders. They could add a big physical forward who can help them score. They could add automatic bench scorer. Well, they're adding all of that because those guys are coming back from injury. You've got Mitchell Robinson, OG Anunoby, Julius Randle, and Bojan Bogdanovic who are going to be added to the mix. So credit to the Knicks, but also credit to the Pacers for winning this one. They were led by Tyrese Haliburton with 26. Nembhard gave them 20. Miles Turner gave them 17. Pascal Siakam gave them 20. Nesmith gave them 19. And TJ McConnell gave them 12 off the bench. And Isaiah Jackson gave them 9 off the bench as well. They had a great team performance. Their depth really shone out in this one. And BJ, the Pacers did not, it felt like they did not miss a shot in the first half. The 76.3% from the field that they shot in the first half was the highest short scoring percentage in any playoff game in the play-by-play era, so since 1998. And I believe that they finished the game breaking the field goal percentage record for a playoff game, finishing with 67.1% from the field. And you know, the Knicks, they're tired, they're injured, they're broken, and they're just not getting to the closeouts, they're not getting to the rotations. And you know, in the end, we said it at the very start, the longer this series goes on, the better it is for the Pacers. And it went as long as it could go, and the Pacers took the
Yeah.
win.
Yeah, Mo, I at the halftime of the second game, I was really kind of feeling pretty good about myself. I was like, you know what? The first game, you know, the Knicks, I was like, I just didn't see a way that the Knicks could continue to just play basically with like 3.5 players. I mean, and it came back and it just, there, it was on display. I mean, the Knicks wanted to win the game. They tried everything they could to win the game. And then I thought, well, Denver is probably going to take it. They're up 20. And all of a sudden, there was a big turnaround there. But the thing that stood out to me was the point guard play of the Knicks. I mean, I'm sorry, the point guard play of the Pacers. I mean, Mo, it was, you know, I was just looking at the numbers here. Okay, and you know I'm not a big numbers guy, but Nembhard had 20. Haliburton had 26. All right, that's 46 points. And then McConnell had 12. That's 58 points right there. Okay. Nembhard and Haliburton had 6 assists apiece. So that's 12. And McConnell had 7. So you get 58 points and 19 assists from the point guard. Just the point guard play. Mo.
Well, I mean, they're playing Nembhard at a 2, but I see what you're saying.
Well, Nembhard and what's his name? They're sharing the duties at the point guard position. Okay. To get 58 points and 19 assists in a game 7 from one position, that's hard to overcome.
Absolutely. Even if Dante DiVincenzo gives you 39, knocking down 9 threes, and Alec Burks, 26 points. It's hilarious. Yeah. Dante DiVincenzo and Alec Burks have had better game 7 performances than a lot of people's favorite players.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's hard. But give the Pacers credit. I mean, they just their depth. I mean, you know, they just came in. They continue to push the pace. And, you know, unfortunately, Brunson got hurt. Now, that was a big blow when he, what did he do? Fractured his hand. Is that what happened tonight? So, I mean, when you look at this team, I mean, they're just devastated with injuries. Brunson, Hart, Anunoby, Julius Randle, Mitchell Robinson. I mean, what are you supposed to do? 4 out of your 5 starters are like hurt.
Mitchell Robinson is like, shout out to Isaiah Hartenstein because he really made himself some money this series.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have big numbers tonight. You know, I don't think he scored. He had about 7, 8 rebounds. But you know what? You know, he gave you the effort. So it was a good fit for the Knicks. And so I think with them bringing these guys back, if that's what they choose to do, they're going to have a lot of, you know, hope and, you know, a positive energy coming back for next year. But I think they're going to do something more with figuring out a different way to play. I don't think these players continue this level of play because they're playing so many minutes. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to reduce these minutes to 30 to 35 minutes max for these guys. That's too many minutes that they're playing. And you can see the way their bodies reacted at the end of the year. They just broke down. And I want to say this. Here was another time, another year, where I thought, even though they had the injuries, that they had an opportunity and they should have at least advanced to the conference finals. I think the last 2 years, you know, and this was a successful season. I think last year was a successful season and this year. But they left some. They left food on the table, right? They left something there. Where I thought they should have at least, you know, at least advanced to the conference finals. But give them credit; those guys, they put it all on the line. But you, you know, you don't want to miss these opportunities when they present themselves.
Absolutely. Now, BJ, this is our 500th episode, so the little treat that we have for ourselves, thanks to the NBA schedule makers, is there's no game on tonight, which means we actually get a day off from the podcast.
Oh,
but before we do that, we've got to look ahead to Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals. The Celtics and the Pacers are going to be in a series against each other. I want to get your take on this series. Who wins and in how many games?
I want to say this one, and I was thinking as I was watching the series, thinking there's no way that the Knicks, if they won that game, there's no way. That would be 4-0.
Yeah.
I mean, it was no way.
Respectfully,
because of just the injuries. But I think the Pacers have a chance in this series. I really do. I do. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. One, What's his name? The point guard they just
Tyrese
picked up.
Halliburton.
No, from Boston.
Jrue Holiday, Derek
Jrue
White.
Holiday. Jrue Holiday can't guard everyone. But then you have Derek White.
Jaylen Brown's a pretty good defender too.
Jaylen Brown's a terrific defender. But I think up front, I'm really expecting Pascal Siakam to like show out in this series. I don't, and I'm
When he
not
was on
sure.
Toronto, Jaylen Brown did an amazing job guarding Siakam, even though he's
Okay,
smaller than
then
him.
I just think they have more depth. Again, the depth of the Celtics have always concerned me. And I don't know what's the unicorn doing? What's he
He,
doing
I
there?
don't know if
Like,
he's going to be playing until at least game four.
okay. So, and Uncle Al and Miles Turner. And I normally take Al in the series, but I think Miles Turner plays kind of like Al Horford. You know, they're kind of,
He's a
they're
stretch
not
five.
undersized. Yeah, he's like a stretch. So I think I'm going to see how this game kind of feels. I think if Jason Tatum can establish himself, which I think he will, if he's the most dominant player, not the best player, but he has to be the most dominant player in the series. I don't see anyone matching up with him. However, I just think the guard play, because they play better sometimes without Halliburton on the floor.
I want to see the battle of the best white backup point guards in TJ McConnell and Peyton Pritchard. I want to see which one, because I know those two are going to be up for it. I want to see the battle of the
Well,
great
yeah,
white point
I think,
guards.
but I'm just gonna, I don't, Jrue Holiday can't guard everyone. So it's gonna be fascinating, but I'm gonna
Well,
pick the
if we
Celtics.
break down, let's break down the matchups, right? So, Jrue Holiday, who's he guarded?
I'm gonna say he's probably on Halliburton.
Okay, Derek White, who's he guarding?
Nimhart.
And Jaylen Brown?
I don't know. I don't know how.
Siakam or Nesmith? Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are two pretty good defenders that you got on those guys, and Al Horford on
I'm gonna say.
Miles Turner.
See, I think Siakam and Jason Tatum, I think that's a tough matchup. I think that's a tough matchup. Because Jason Tatum is normally he's taller than everyone, but Siakam is what? He's got to be what, 6'8", 6'9", somewhere around there. So I think that's a good matchup. Naismith is a good matchup, and Miles Turner is a good matchup. So I think this comes down to the bench play. And you got McConnell, you got Shepherd, Obi. I want to say the Celtics in seven. I want to say the Celtics in seven. I'm gonna say that in seven. Just because I know they can push the pace. I know they can play fast, but I'm a little skeptical right now. But I'm going to
The
say the Celtics. I'm going to say the
last
Celtics.
time Jaylen Brown guarded Pascal Siakam in the playoffs, Pascal Siakam scored 43 points of 19 of 43 shooting, including 2 of 12 from 3 and only 5 free throws. If Jaylen Brown can defend like that, it's pretty good.
I'm gonna say the Celtics. I'm gonna say the Celtics, but I'm a little concerned. I'm a little concerned for your Celtics.
I'm always concerned for my Celtics. I'm going with the Pacers because that's what I do.
Oh,
That's what I do. You know me too
you know
well.
what? Hey,
The jig is up. Oh, big, big
well,
deal.
hey, you know what? You
And
know
here's
what?
one thing that's
Well.
interesting, BJ, though. I've been thinking about this. Now, my biggest problem with the Celtics is when the game really slows down and the offense becomes stagnant and they play one-on-one. The Pacers love to play up and down, fast basketball. Do you think that actually helps the Celtics because they're not going to get into this bogged down, slow offense that
What's
can kind of
the
crank down?
what is what what's the what's their season record? What was their season record this year?
I know that the Pacers knocked the Celtics out of the in-season tournament. Throughout this season, the Celtics won the first matchup on November the 1st. The Pacers then won on December the 4th. The Celtics then won on January the 6th. The Pacers then won on January the 8th. And then the Celtics won on January the 30th. But this is before the Pascal Siakam trade. So they've not actually played this current iteration of the Pacers team.
Yeah, I think this goes seven. I really think this is going to go seven. I think this is going to go seven because I just think the pace, and I think the guard play and the forwards, I think they all kind of, you know, wash themselves out. But I'm concerned because I see a huge advantage up front for the Indiana Pacers.
Yep.
This is a series where I think they're going to need Porzingis. And if Al gets in any type of foul trouble or he doesn't play 38 minutes plus, which that's a lot of minutes for Al, I think that's going to be a problem for them. I really do. I think that's going to be a problem for them.
Well, the one game that they played without Porzingis in this season, the Pacers won 122 to 112. Al Horford finished with just 2 points in 31 minutes, but he only took three shots.
Yeah, I just think that I think I'm going to be watching how they're going to, when I say they, the Boston Celtics, how they're going to defend, how they're going to play, and what they're going to do to neutralize Miles Turner and company. I think Miles Turner and Siakam can both have big series, and I think they can both establish themselves and be the dominant force, you know, for the front court. So if that happens, Mo, I don't think there's any way. Now you have to go small ball with Jason Tatum as literally your power forward. And I don't like that. I don't like that for Jason Tatum. Have to go down there and bang, play physical. I don't like that for him. So I think that could be a major problem for them. But we'll see. We'll see how it turns out. But I especially if the Pacers, because the Pacers, they've shown that they're capable, because the way they play, they're capable of putting up a lot of points. I just like their bigs.
I'm hoping Mizzou finally gives me the Xavier Tillman minutes that I've been asking for. I want to see what they look like.
I don't know if that's a good – I don't know if this is a good matchup for him. I don't know if this is a good matchup for him. I don't like the athleticism of the Celtic bigs.
Mm.
I don't like the athleticism.
Is the athletic big that the Celtics have, and I doubt he gets any minutes.
We'll see.
But let me ask you this, though, BJ. The Pacers played a Game 7. They've got 48 hours now, a little bit more than 48 hours, until they play Game 1 against Boston. Boston have been chilling for like a while now. Who does that favor coming into Game 1? The team that's in rhythm, just off a big win. They've just won the last two.
You're just going from New York to Boston. I think it favors the Pacers. I think it favors the Pacers. Game one, because their bodies will be live. You know, it's kind of a fill out game. You know, if I'm the Celtics, I want to win these first two. Because these young guys, what do they have to lose? Like,
the Celtics don't like winning game twos.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think the Pacers can win game one. It's because those guys haven't been playing. These guys are coming off, you know, a game they just played, what, you know, today, and then they'll travel tomorrow. They're young enough, and then they'll come out with a lot of energy. And I don't know if the Celtics have and you can't play zone against this team, at least by the way they shoot. Talking about the Pacers, so I like the Pacers maybe pick up this game, and I just know this: if the Celtics allow the Pacers to get a game early in this series, I think this will be the one that come back to bite them, because they always have, you know, they always have a game where they just kind of like take off. Well, I don't think you can do this with this team, you know? I just don't. They have struggled. The Pacers have struggled, especially in the first round. They struggled to get, you know, barely get by this round. But at some point, you start getting confidence. And there's no reason for them not to come up, because they have an advantage now, especially up front. And I think this will be an opportunity for them to, like, maybe put it together and show what they really have. You know, they were the runner-up in the in-season tournament, for whatever that means. I just wanted to say that. And then here we go. So
the Celtics were the runaway best team in the NBA regular season. They breezed through the first two rounds by ridiculous scoring margins, despite dropping a game in each series. They have had extra time to watch this team closely and be able to come up with a game plan for them. I know Joe Mazzulla is looking carefully at what they're doing and trying to find a way to neutralize it. And I think talent-wise, despite the Pacers having better depth, the Celtics have better talent across the board. So I'm a little bit, as a wise man once said, I don't get nervous, but I'm a little bit shaky. You know that one now. You know what I'm saying? That's that. We'll be back after that game one to recap that, and we'll preview the Western Conference Finals as well. But BJ, 500 episodes, man. I appreciate you putting up with me for all 500. And
the same. The feeling's mutual. And we got 500 more to go. So
we got more than 500 to go. More than 500 to go. Shout out to each and every one of you who listened. You know, everyone's asking what I'm going to do to celebrate 500 episodes. I'm going to do 500 more.
I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get a little sleep.
All right, that's a good plan. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll tell you what I'll do for the fans. And if you tweet me or send in the Discord or send on Instagram, send me your favorite clips ever from the first 500 episodes of this show. Me and BJ will look at them, and whoever sends us the funniest moment, I might just give you an NBA jersey. How about that?
Sounds like a winner.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do that. So shout out to you guys who listen. If you do enjoy the show, please, please do share this with any basketball fans that you know, whether they're big basketball fans or whether they're people that just want to get into basketball now that the playoffs are here. Please do share this show with them so that we can keep bringing this to you. And it would really help us if you guys go on the Apple Podcast app and leave a review, tell the people how much you enjoy the show, or if you're on Spotify, make sure you give us 5 stars. That makes all the difference in the world. So we appreciate you guys rocking with us. Thank you so much for being here with us on this journey. And we've got a lot more to come. And we'll do some sort of celebration episode. We'll bring some friends to the show, but we might save that for the off season because the flow of the playoffs right now, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot going on. And I know BJ needs to get some rest. And yeah, BJ, congratulations, 500 episodes, and
appreciate you.
The marathon may continue. So until next time, make sure you subscribe, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. And most importantly, for the 500th time, get buckets.